This audio presentation is a teaching of Pastor Alex Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. In his message titled, Getting Started Again, Pastor Alex speaks about how to get started when you're at your low. This message was recorded on Sunday, August 23rd, 2015. Here now is Pastor Alex.
Last week, Pastor Scott talked about being yourself. a long time ago, I saw something in him, and he, I'll make this real short. He's just like Jesus. He has a heart for the Lord. And the Bible says that that's the best kind of man, that his heart is after what God wants, the best. And I'm glad he's not trying to be me. He would turn Portuguese instantly. Thanks so much for letting me share, Pastor Scott. I know he just came back from a conference last week, and he was with a lot of my old friends, and I got to see a lot of them and told me about they saying hi. And that's the good thing about conferences and conventions, is that you get to mingle with all the people that you make friends with all during those years, and relationships are very, very important. Amen? I'm going to kind of talk a little bit about that, relationships today. John Maxwell does a marriage seminar, and in one of his illustrations, he says that being a pastor, people, when they want to get married, they come in for premarital counseling. Everybody know what premarital is? That's before you get married, you come in. Okay? And he said that when he would hear the car come into the parking lot, he would look out of the window. And this is premarital counseling. He says, looks like there's only one person sitting in the seat. And the reason is that she's almost on his lap. They're so much in love. Okay? He doesn't go and open the other side door because she follows him right out on that side door. The lovey-dovey comes right into their office. The pastor offers chairs to be sat on, and they choose the smallest chair, and she's practically on his lap. And they're just... So the pastor asks him some questions, and he says, okay, how did you get here? Is that your vehicle out there? And the man answers, no, we borrowed the car from my uncle. We don't have a car yet. And so the pastor says, do you have a job? Oh, no, we'll get a job later. We'll do that. And the pastor asks them a series of questions, and they're just, you know, like, they're not even listening to the pastor, because their eyes are on each other, and they love each other. So the pastor says, after he wastes about an hour of his time, they jump back in the car, you know, and she's on his lap, and they drive off. And then he says, 5 years later, same couple, drive into the parking lot. He's looking out of the window again. Two separate cars. She comes out, slams the door. He comes out, slams the door. They come into the office. They sit as far apart as they can. He asks them the same questions. You have a car? Yep, two cars. Financially, you okay? Yep, we got a lot of finances. And you'd be surprised at the difference that it made in the relationship. How many of you agree that there are many ups and downs in life? Yeah, even at your workplace, there are highs and there are lows. We have a understanding that in the world today, it's not always lovey-dovey. It's not always a high that you're on. And on the title of the message today, you're going to kind of catch it at the ending, is really about how to get started again when things are in the low. Everybody understand that? Yeah. And so what I want to do today is tell you something really funny. In February, my wife and I went to a wedding. And at the wedding, of course, I did the ceremony there. And when we were done in the reception, Instead of having the, they did it later where the bride and the groom did their dance. But before that, I guess it was some sort of entertainment for us. They got all the married couples up there. And we danced. All of us did a dance. And what the DJ did was he said, okay, now, you're going to stop the music. And he said, how many of you have been married 10 years and less? And so the hands went up. He said, sit down. And so they went and sat down. You kind of catch what he was doing? How many of you, 15 years and more, sit down. And what he was trying to do was find the couple that was the longest married. And they were about, what, 55 years? Yeah. Brennan had to sit down. We were doing pretty good up until. But anyway, if you were to talk to that old couple, they would tell you that life was not always good. There were many, many ups and downs in their marriage. And so what I want you to do is to understand that life is a series of ups and downs, highs and lows. And you're going to find both of them can be good and bad. We all know that the highs is where we want to be all the time. Yeah, we want to be on a high. And so, only because the lows are so painful. There is something that is within us that always craves to be on the highest point. But I know that it's not possible to do so. And if you read the Bible, you're going to find that even in the Bible is a parade of highs and lows. How many of you knew who Daniel was? Remember Daniel and the lion's den? Yeah? He was in the lion's den, and then the lions did not eat him. You know why? You know when you say, shut your mouth? That's what God said to the lions. But Daniel was a faithful man, and because of his faithfulness to God, if you read the whole story, what happened to Daniel was, because of that, he was thrown into the lion's den. That was a low. Faithfulness, and then low. Jesus, at his baptism, he hears the Father's voice that comes from heaven, which says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And you and the people heard that. That was a high. But right after that, he goes into the desert, and now he's assaulted with temptation from the devil himself. And that was a low. But what happened after that? His ministry thrives. He's teaching the kingdom of God, all about the kingdom of God. And God starts to transform lives and starts to perform miracles through Jesus. That was a high. But look right after that, what happens? He dies on the cross. That's a low. But what happened after that? Come on, you say it. He rose again. Yeah, that's what Easter is all about. And that was a high. Up and down, up and down. But this is what I know. Jesus stayed faithful to God in the highs and in the lows. And it's in the highs and in the lows that you and I will learn to become like Jesus. You get it? Yeah. So there's a good to these things. There's a passage in the Bible which we're going to really focus on today, found in the book of Revelations. So if you have your Bibles with you, I do this really easy for you. It's the last book in the Bible. Don't tell anybody else. Revelations, chapter 2, verse 2. And Jesus is really, he's talking to some Christians, and this is what he says. He says, I know your deeds and your toil and your perseverance, and that you cannot endure evil men. And you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not. And you found them to be false. And you have persevered and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember therefore from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the deeds you did at first. Comes from the New American Standard Version. Now, notice the description of these followers of Jesus. They have grown in faith, and it's obvious that they had a clear sense of their purpose. They had served the Lord with gratitude and emotion and joy and diligence, but something happened along the way. Somewhere along the way, in their journey with Jesus, something had changed. Now, it wasn't a work problem, and I'll tell you why. Because they were working along just fine. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, you're great at your work. You're great at your perseverance. You're great at endurance. So they were doing the right thing. So it wasn't a problem about work. And I don't believe it was a problem about information. It was not an information problem. Thinking things wrong, stuff like that. They had the right information. So I'm going to give you the answer right now. You know what their problem was? It was a love problem. A love problem. They were suffering from what can be described as a heart drift. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever experienced a heart drift? Where your heart used to be on fire with passion and now it's cold. I mean, this happens in male and female relationships, like the marriage, all the time. Let me use a prop to illustrate this. Aaron, would you put up the first picture of this young couple hugging each other? And actually, you cannot see the whole picture, but they're dancing. You see that? That's an illustration. Well, how many of you remember that? Love sick, right? Wide-eyed, passionate, can't stop touching each other kind of love. Do you remember? I think some of you forgot. Let me give you some attributes of what first love really looks like. Number one, you have an unquenchable desire to learn all you can about the other person. I remember when Bernard and I first met, it was like I was on the football field and I see this good-looking Filipino cheerleader. You know, and from the field, I almost like tell a coach, I don't like play, I like go check this chick out. You know, I mean, that was the kind of attraction that it had right away. An unquenchable desire to learn all you can about the other person. Now, Aaron, put that picture back up. Oh, not that one. Put the second one up. Okay. What are you thinking about this one? They're no longer dancing. Right? Now put the other picture back up. Okay. They're dancing, but what do after the dance? They go out to a romantic dinner. How many of you remember that? And he's not even touching his food. His food is in front of him. But you know what he's doing? He's looking at her. And he's talking to her. Amazing. They're having a conversation. Write that down. Conversation. And here's the conversation. Hey, babe. Tell me about yourself. Right? Tell me about everything. Your hurts. Tell me what you like. Tell me about your parents. Tell me about what's happening. Tell me. Tell me what your plans for the future. But do most relationships stay like that? And put up the other picture again. Not always, right? Okay, somewhere along the road, and I don't know when it happens, but something happens to love. Imagine them now, this couple out to dinner. Okay, I'll paint the picture. He's looking at his plate. He's eating with both hands. He's looking at his plate, not at her. And you know what he's doing? Complaining about the price. Yeah. And they're not talking to each other at all. I'll give you a second attribute of first love. There is a heavy investment in that love relationship. There's a heavy investment. In other words, you're willing to invest heavily. Hey, you want to spend some time together? No problem. You have all the time in the world for each other now. The guy's got to wait, right? And you could imagine that in that dancing couple, couldn't you? They danced all night. You can see the guy saying to her, can I drive by where you work so I can just kind of get a glimpse of you during the day? Or can I watch you work? Or could I watch you watch your watch doing work? And then they go out to dinner and he says to her, hey, order anything you want, babe. Money is no problem. Right? And they go to the mall together and he says, buy whatever you want. That was back when he would actually go to the mall with her. Right? Now you look at that other couple. Aaron, put that couple back up again. He goes to the mall with her and guess what? He looked like he's doing hard time. Right? And he's looking at his watch. You got it? Here's a third attribute of first love. You got this unquenchable desire and a heavy investment. But then, third, there's an intense preoccupation of the heart. There's an intense preoccupation of the heart. Aaron, put up that young couple again dancing. There is no room in their heart for anything else. What's occupying their heart? Each other. They're full of love. They got full devotion from each other. They got all your affection, every bit of your esteem. That person was your treasure. And this couple, do you know what they're dancing to? I was going to sing the whole song to you, but we don't have time. But ain't no mountain high enough and no valley low enough. You know that song. Yeah. Now, Aaron, put the other couple back up. This couple, what is going through their head? I'll tell you what's going through their head. The carpenters sing this song. I'll say goodbye to love. Yeah. Sad. What can happen to love? Revelation 2:4. We read it. It says something very insightful about love. It does not say you have lost your first love. It says you have left your first love. It's a choice. Actually, it was a small series of choices. So let me say something before I'm going to move on and shift gears on this message. God never intended for your love in your marriage to be dead, dull, and unsatisfying. Good. I heard somebody say amen. Yeah. And so what I'm saying is with God, all things are possible. I'm glad that couple that met with John Maxwell came back in for counseling to get steered on the right course again. So can I say, did you get what I said so far? Okay, good, because it's changing gears now. Some of you right now, you are on a high in your relationship with God. Others of you, you're just observers. And when I say observers, this might be your first time here, and I want to say thank you so much for coming. Let me tell you what the Bible says to those that have just first-time comers. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. He is good. And I'll tell you, once you do, you will hunger and thirst more for God, because He's not only desirable, He is reliable. Now, for those of you who have thirsted for righteousness and you hunger for God, it is as if your hunger and thirst seems unquenchable. You cannot spend enough time. You cannot leverage enough of your resources. You cannot offer enough of your life to God. Love has captured you, and you are willing to be a captive to God. And that's what I saw in you, Pastor Scott. It's a spiritual high. And Bible studies that are being held, I mean, you're there. Worship service is going on, you're there. I mean, if Walmart sold baptism bubble bath, you would be using it. Yeah. You're so much in love with God. And there's no place that you'd rather be. Nothing else you'd rather give yourself to. And Jesus Christ is the full focus of your heart and your devotion. That's a spiritual high weather system, because it is providing sunshine and stability in your life. For some of you, maybe that jet stream is still blowing, but a low pressure system has built up. Clouds and storms cover the weather map of your soul. And rain and coldness blow across your heart, and over a series of small choices, you have left your first love. Now, what do you do if that's you? How do you get started again on a new place in your spiritual journey that you have been taking? What steps do you take to get out of a spiritual low place? Now, if I would say, amen, let's go home, you would be cheated, because I have all the answers right here. And these answers can help you. And guess where they come from? The Word of God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Yeah. So here we go. We're going to find the answers. In verse 5, first step, Jesus said, remember. Can some of you remember when you were so spiritually hungry that you couldn't stay away from church? You didn't care if the service lasted an hour or an hour and a half or 2 hours. It didn't matter to you. You were just willing to hang out. But what happened? Now you come in 15, 20 minutes late. You come strolling in. Or you're getting up and leaving early. Or you're getting up and walking out and coming back in. You don't do that at a movie theater. Why? You paid for it. You invested in it. Oh, Pastor Alex, you're getting kind of mean, yeah. You know, when you were, when you had your first love with God, you fell in love with Him. You came early. You stayed late. You were more like that young couple. Do I need to put it back up on the screen? Rather than that old couple. Oh, nothing. It was the same couple, but rather than them. Like first love, maybe there was a time when you had an unquenchable desire to learn about God. You made whatever investment in that relationship. He was the intense preoccupation of your heart. All you wanted to do was love God and please Him. Do you remember? Let me tell you something. God remembers. He remembers feeling the thrill within you the first time that the Bible really spoke to you. I mean, the Bible is so pregnant with truth. It was like it gave birth while you read it. You couldn't read fast enough. It was a thrill for you. God remembers. He remembers your courage that the first time you talked to somebody else, how much Jesus Christ meant to you. He was so proud of you. He felt your heart beating so fast in your chest that you thought it was going to burst. He knew how surprised you were that your words and your efforts that you were making a difference in somebody else's life. It wasn't because of duty. It was because of courage and passion. He remembers. God remembers each time in worship where you would lift your hands and surrender to Him. Or you would hold them up like an empty cup and ask Him to fill it for you. Fill you. God remembers. And He remembers when tears would easily come to your eyes because you were so filled with gratitude and wonder and amazement and grace. He remembers. He remembers when you pursued Him like no other, when He was the object of your deepest affection. And you know what? He misses that. This isn't about trying to put a guilt trip on you. That's not my intention. Because if the truth were told, you miss that too. Singer Lionel Harrison wrote a song where God is the singer. And what God says to the listener, and I quote, "I miss my time with you, these moments together. I need to be with you each day, and it hurts me when you say you're too busy. Busy trying to serve me, but how can you serve me when your spirit is empty?" And as one of your pastors of this church, I want to plead with you. Never let your work for God destroy the work of God in you. This is supposed to be about love. It's a love relationship with the very one who made you. We need to find times in our hearts to say, "God, I miss you too. I remember I'm coming back." And when you've allowed love to slip, notice what this next step you take to get back. It's verse 5. It says, repent. Now, I know everybody hates this word. It's a heavy word. What does repent really mean? I mean, you hear preachers, man, screaming that word out loud. Repent. And you hate it. I do too. But the real definition, it's on your outline. It says, I recognize that where I am is not where I'm supposed to be. So I turn and move towards where I'm supposed to be. That's what it is. In Lamentations 3, it says, let's take a good look at the way we're living and reorder our lives under God. Now, how do you move to the place that you want to be with God? First, you remember. Second, you repent. And number 3, right out of that verse 5, it says, you do the works that you used to do. You take one step at a time. You do the next step right, the next right thing to do. You put one foot in front of the other, and you will successfully make your way through that low place in your life. When you boil it down, our character is developed through our obedience and through the trust in God during the highs and lows. You trust Him when you're up, and you trust Him when you're down. And we obey Him, and it's not about I'll obey this part, but I'm not going to obey that part. That selective obedience is not obedience at all. Let's read this next verse together. Philippians 3:16. Aaron, would you get that up there? Ready, go. Now that we are on the right track, let's stay on it. Okay, I'm going to read the first part, and I want you to read the second part. Ready? Now that we are on it, the right track.
Let's stay on it.
Get it? Got it? Good.
Amen.
The Bible says that. It's so simple. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 11, it says, having started the ball rolling so enthusiastically, you should carry this project through to completion just as gladly. Let your enthusiastic idea at the start be equal by your realistic action now. And so you say, okay, I'm willing with God's help. You catching that? You cannot do it on your own. You need God's help. I'm willing with God's help to try and follow Him step by step. Obedience and trust through the highs and through the lows. But Pastor, I have one question, and here's the question. What if I trip? During my low period, what if I fail? That's a really good question to ask. Here's the answer. Even when you fail, God never does. When you fail, God never does. God's care for you will never fail. He'll never stop caring. Here's what I know. God is not just a fair weather friend. He will care for you in the highs, and I am glad to report He is also there in the lows. God's love will never fail, even when you get messy. How many of you can get messy in life? Yeah. His love for you is never in question. Several years ago, a lady named Jeanette George wrote about a flight that she was on from Tucson, Arizona, flying to Phoenix, Arizona. And seated next to her was this young woman with a small little baby girl. And Jeanette describes the little baby. She says she was so beautiful. She was wearing this white dress. Her hair was fixed with a little pink bow. This baby was smiling, and she kept saying, and I love this word, Dada. Not mama, Dada, daddy. The woman, the mother, explained to Jeanette, we're going home to see Daddy. We've been away for 24 hours and he's coming to meet us and greet us at the airport. So everybody was enjoying this little girl on the flight. And Mom had this thermos bottle and she kept feeding this baby juice and fruit. And then the baby started crying, maybe because her ears were hurting her from the flight. So what Mom did was kept on giving her juice and fruit. And then the flight started to get turbulent. Guess what happened? Juice and fruit went everywhere. This little girl's face was now a mess. Her hair, her white dress, what came out went everywhere. People around them were assuring the mom that it's okay, handing her tissues while running for cover. When the plane landed, the little girl was fine again, and she started saying, Dada, again. Jeanette George says when they got off the plane, she spotted her daddy, and she said, there he was, standing in white pants, in a white shirt, holding white flowers. As he walked to embrace his wife, she just handed him the child, and she's on the way to the bathroom to clean up. And Jeanette George said, this is what she thought the dad would say. I thought that when he looked at how nasty this little girl had gotten, he would say, this is not my baby. I don't know who baby she is, but that's not what he said. That daddy took the little girl in his arms, and he started kissing her, stroking her hair and saying over and over again, Daddy's baby came home. And I'm going to read to you, and I'm going to quote two brief sentences that Jeanette George says. I quote, I watched him all the way to the baggage area. He never stopped kissing that baby, and I thought, where did I ever get the idea that Father God is less loving than this young daddy in a white shirt and a white pants and white flowers? who doesn't care what his little girl looks like or what she smells like, unquote. He is just glad that she is home. My point is, maybe you have blown it and really messy. You thought that God would never want you like that. And if you think like that, you are so wrong. Whoever you are, whatever you have done, God wants you to come home to Him. It's like coming home. You stay steady. You remember His love. You take the next right step. Just keep moving in His direction. Just keep making your way home to Him. He wants you in His arms, no matter what. Why? Because His love for you never fails. Never fails. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes? I didn't mean to get rough today. What I meant to do was help you with your marriage and relationships, and especially your relationship with God. It all sits in your lap. What you do with God and to God depends on you. We pastors, we try to preach the word in such a way that you would understand, but you have to take the ball and run with it. And don't do it without God. If you're going to learn about Him and build a strong relationship with Him, it's in your ball field. And that's why Pastor Scott continues to say, read the Word. How are you going to know God if you don't know what the Word says? Spend time with Him. He loves you. And He remembers. Father, we are grateful for Your love, and we thank You so much that You care so much for us. And I would pray, Lord, that people would not say it was a good message or it was a bad message, but they would say, I want to get closer to God. And so, Father, today we make choices, and our choice is that we will not leave our first love. Thanks so much for teaching us and blessing us with this wonderful church. Leaders that are here, Lord, that care for us. The word being preached every Sunday faithfully so that we can get a better understanding about life and the way You meant it to be. Help us to be completely sold off for You, Lord. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, if there is someone this morning that have not personally made a move towards asking God to be your Lord and Savior, and what you heard today was maybe Greek, some Greek to you. You don't understand it all. God never said that you needed to understand it all. He just said, come to Me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. He said, seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will open to you. And so this morning we just want to give you an opportunity to do like what most of us have done. We accepted Christ into our lives. And we did it by having a simple prayer saying, Lord, come into my heart. I don't understand it all, but be my Lord and my Savior. Show me, guide me. I need You, Lord. And so as best as I know how, I surrender to You. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if there's somebody here that sincerely would say, Pastor Alex, I just prayed that prayer and I accepted Jesus in my life, would you just lift up a hand and look at me, and I'm just going to acknowledge you. Is there anybody that would say, I accepted Christ into my heart? Okay. If there is somebody that would say, I understand what you said and I've kind of left my first love and I just want to get back to it today. Pastor Alex, I am saying that. That's me. Would you lift a hand? Yeah. Not only you, me too. A lot of us. We just want to get back in that right place. You can put your hands down. So Lord, we want to end this service today, but we want to do it where when we walk out of this place, to really understand that church starts when we walk out of these doors, because we're going to go out into a world that we need you to guide us. And so church starts when we walk out these doors. We thank you. We thank you for our Pastor Scott, Lord. Thanks so much for his leadership. And we would pray that you continue to bless him, Lord, with long life and good health. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Alex Pacheco of New Hope Christian Fellowship, East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street, Kau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeasthawaii.com.